Good morning, TechConnex, and welcome back to the TechConnex podcast, the business of your business. I'm your host, Ryan Ellis. On today's episode, we are talking with Desi, the CEO, the magic maker, the founder, the practitioner of Building Perspectives. And Desi is a great individual, a true leader, somebody who's very thoughtful, a great mentor to a lot of our current members, and he's a great mentor to the companies he works with and works for and the companies that he owns. And on today's session, we are talking about how organizations can do more by slowing down. So obviously, I want to thank Desi for taking the time and this opportunity to speak with me. And here's a little bit of our recording. So enjoy and have a great day.
Hey, good morning, Desi. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic, Ryan. How are you?
Awesome, awesome. Welcome to the TechConnex podcast, and obviously I want to thank you for taking the time to speak with me today. I know you want to get down to business, so to all the listeners, I'm speaking with Desi. He's the managing partner of Building Perspectives, and Desi came up with a great topic today, how organizations can do more by slowing down. And I guess through these turbulent times, I think people are taking a step back and, you know, evaluating or reevaluating their business and their business practices. So I thought Desi would be an amazing person to speak with on this topic. So obviously, Desi, welcome to the podcast.
Ryan, thanks so much. It's a pleasure to talk about things I'm passionate about. So thank you for that.
Awesome, awesome. We're going to jump right into the first question. You spent the last 20 years as a consultant helping companies across a wide range of industries to create operational resilience. Is there one piece of advice you can give away that would be really beneficial to companies today?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question, Ryan. So what I've learned in 20 years is we get hired to do a lots of, you know, sophisticated and sometimes complicated projects for companies. There's companies trying to implement IT solutions, derive all sorts of financial and operational efficiencies. And there's a lot of fancy metrics associated with projects like that. And what I've learned over the last 20 years is that, you know, the bedrock for all these companies operationally is people, and people work in processes. So at the end of the day, if you're able to uncover time for people, if you're able to give organizations space to breathe in terms of time, when I'm not talking about time that gets utilized to do something else, but I'm talking about real free time, the kind of time where you're, you know, walking down the road and you get to smell the roses. If people have that kind of time in organizations, I call that disposable time. If they have that kind of time, it brings out the best in people, and there's a hidden productivity, a hidden resilience that gets created in organizations. And the funny thing is that apart from all the fancy metrics we have when we implement operational efficiencies, just the basic one, just freeing up people's time, it really is the single most important thing you can do for an organization. So that's the piece of advice that I would give companies, leadership people working in companies, is that find out methods, technologies, work with people, partner with people that help you to create time in the organization at the strategic leadership level, at an operational level, and right at the employee level. If people are having time available to them where they can catch that GO train, get home earlier, put dinner on the table, and be really renewed and refreshed to come in the next day. That's a huge, believe it or not, it's a competitive advantage if you're able to gain that for your organization.
I know, obviously, you know, the old adage goes, you know, time is money. Can you speak a little bit about maybe some money management approach, maybe some of the things that you have done with investing and, keeping companies afloat?
Yeah, it's interesting. So I started Building Perspective in around 2006, and I started like any entrepreneur, working 16 to 20 hours a day, pulling a lot of all-nighters. And what I found is that I had a business that I could not scale. So I decided that the only way to scale the business is, and scaling is an intelligent entrepreneurial activity. It's not something one can just do in an ad hoc manner. You need to go through the commercialization process. And the only way for me to do that is to secure enough time. So what I did is we reorganized our business in a way that most of our services are delivered in a short amount of time. And that freed up the people in our business to do different things. And what we ended up doing as a result is We made a lot of money with our products and services. We ended up buying startup companies. Believe it or not, we even ended up buying commercial real estate. And that made the company quite successful and resilient. And the focus was really on how to design a business and a delivery system that was very sensitive to time. That's really what we do. So most of our services, when we work with companies, we're not consultants that are at site, at client sites for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. We have targeted services. So we work with the client 4 hours a week, 2 hours a week, that type of thing. Give very targeted, specialized services. And that also allows us to grow our own business at the same time.
So I guess, like, obviously we're talking about resilience in an organization and time. Like, how do I create time in my organization?
Yeah. So to create time, really, you have to look at all the things that are stealing time away from you. So most companies, what they're doing is, most companies, communities, families, we spend so much of our time doing what needs to be done today or tomorrow. In our world, we call that standard work, or we call that just running the ship. It's the operation, just the getting the groceries, the putting the dinner on the table, cleaning the house. We call that operations. Now, operational time should only take up 25 to 50% of your time. But most of us, and especially in companies, operations is taking up 99, if not more than 100% of your time. People are working unpaid overtime to just to keep the ship running. But what you really need to do is say, this is the time allocated for operations. This is the time allocated for continuous improvement. This is the time that I'm going to envision and design my future. And this is the time I'm going to actually implement actions to deliver my future. So there's four buckets of time. We call it, here in our company, we call it standard work, continuous improvement, study, and strategy deployment. If you take care of those four buckets of time and you don't spend all of your time in operations, you're evolving your business and you're designing resilience right into your future. Because what's happening today, I can't do anything about. If I'm late on my taxes, I'm late on my taxes. You know, if I haven't made dinner by six, I haven't made dinner by six. There's a whole lot. There's not much I can do about today. I'm just going to have to suffer the day. But what I can do today is spend a little time to design a more resilient future. So when I get into that future, you know, it's a bit healthier, right? So that's how you create time. There's so much of what we do today that's not necessarily beneficial for the future. So we got to spend a little bit of time designing and executing actions for the future.
I know it probably sounds complicated to a lot of people, but is this possible to do it on your own, or do you need an expert to help implement, organizational change in time and money management? What's been your approach?
So our approach is always a do-it-yourself attitude. So we always try to work with clients to get them to do this on their own. Initially, there's certain concepts and there's certain disciplines that they need to learn and develop in order to do it on their own. A good example is 2 years ago, I hired a personal trainer. So I have a full-time personal trainer and a nutritionist, and I've been with them for the last 2 years. I'm at that point in my own physical journey, my fitness journey, where I can start to do things on my own. But why did I need them for 2 years? It's because I just didn't have the discipline to do the work and to work as hard as I needed to. I didn't have a good understanding of what I needed to do with my body and what I needed to do with my nutrition. So what the 2 years helped me do is I invest 2 years working with experts in the field. And for the next 10 years, I'm going to be able to manage my fitness in a very effective and efficient way. And it also allows me to pursue a higher level fitness goal. So if I wanted to work with my trainer again, I could actually pursue more sophisticated fitness goals, which I couldn't have done before. So it's nice to have someone to at least take you down those first steps, but your goal should always be self-sufficient. You should never, you're not going to like me for saying this, but you should never hire a consultant and keep them with you forever. The idea, once you get a consultant, is to steal all their knowledge and then get rid of them. And that's the best kind of consultant to work with, right? And yeah. I don't like to work with the same company for the same issues over and over and over again, because then that means I haven't done, you know, professionally what I'm supposed to.
Okay. Obviously, we've talked about setting budgets for time. And you mentioned four particular budgets. Can you elaborate a little bit more on those four sectors of budgeting?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about operations, budgets for operations. So, you know, if you're budgeting for money, you have a category in a spreadsheet to say, hey, for training, employee training, I'm going to spend this much money for the year for employee training. Well, what does that look like operationally? If you have a manufacturing company, for example, what it looks like is a budget in a manufacturing company looks like a schedule board. A schedule board is we're going to produce this product from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, this product from 10 o'clock to 11. So a schedule board is a budget for operations. Let's take a more sophisticated. Let's say you work for an IT company and you're doing product development or product improvement, some kind of IT development. You should everyone should allocate in their calendars when they're going to do that product development. If product development is a significant part of the company, maybe it should occupy of a particular week, it should occupy 50% of your week. What I do is actually carve out those times in my calendar. So my calendar looks fully loaded, but all I'm doing with my calendar is budgeting time, right? So I budget the time for that. Now, if that's not enough time to develop, to work on product development, I've either got to stop doing other things or I've got to make my product development process more efficient. That's the only way to do. Because whether we like it or not, there's time is fixed. There's only so many hours in the day. And after you subtract sleeping and this and that and taking care of the kids, there's only so much. You can't grow that amount of time. You just got to use it differently, right?
Oh, kids. how does technology fit into all of this? Like, how does it fit into the big picture and organization and time management? Like what are some of the programs you're using? What are some of the good technologies that are out there for this?
Yeah, so in our business, in many of the businesses that we own, we're always using a CRM, a customer relationship management system. I own a few companies that have inventory. So we have an enterprise resource planning system, which is an ERP system. So these are all, whether it's a CRM or ERP or collaboration system, it manages the resources in your company so that everyone understands what resources are available and when they're available. So the thing about technology, so we're living in a world where everybody talks about technology. I think it's important to understand the relationship between technology and work. So what technology does is it takes anything that you're doing and it makes it faster. So a good example is if I was in my garage and I had to fasten two pieces of wood together, and I decided I was going to use a screw. Well, I could use a manual screwdriver, or I could use an electric screwdriver. Both of them are going to do the same thing. So one is manual and one is automated. Everyone thinks that going towards automation is the answer for everything, but it really depends on your business. There's certain parts of your business that can thrive in a manual system, and there's other parts of your system of your business that could use a more automated system. So you need to first define your process and then figure out what technologies to use to automate your process. Now you got to remember, if you have a shitty process, you're going to automate all the good and bad in your process, right? So if you're creating a lot of defects in your process and you automate it, you're going to create that many more, because everything gets scaled when you automate things, the good and the bad get scaled. So I always tell people, before you implement a technology, clean up your processes first, because then you're going to automate and make a clean process faster. So that's the relationship between technology and process. And I don't know what it is today, but a lot of people have forgotten about process, and they have a feeling or a sensation that if I plug in technology, everything is going to be better. And unless you do the process homework beforehand, it's not necessarily the case.
And we got a few more extra minutes here. Obviously, I want to talk about the current times, and as a leader and a business owner of a few different businesses. How are you managing your team? What are some of the goods that are maybe coming out of this? But what are some of the bads that you are facing as an entrepreneur, a business leader, an owner? What are the challenges right now for you?
Well, one of the challenges is a guy like me getting a lot more familiar with collaboration systems. So over the last, 8 years or so, I've had the privilege of working with a lot of strong players. And so I haven't had to do a lot of the operational things I haven't had to work all that remotely. And now I have to come up to speed. So all the young people in my professional and personal life are training me on how to use Zoom and how to use this and how to use that. I'm a very physical, hands-on person. And so, you know, working remotely like this, it takes a bit of a behavioral adjustment for me. So I'm learning all these things. I'm actually learning a lot from my staff, who tend to be younger than me anyway. So they're teaching me a lot of these things. As far as businesses is concerned and our clients, we've got about, I think, about 120 or 130 clients or so. So we proactively approached all our clients because I know they feel squeamish about talking to us about payments. And I've already gone to them and given them proposals and sent them and, you know, stretching out their payments so that they don't have to worry about paying us now in the next few months. So if they were on a 1-year, for example, coaching program with us, I've given them the opportunity to pay across 2 years instead of 1 year. So we did that to a number of clients. I own a lot of commercial property. I've already sent emails out well in advance saying, listen, irrespective of anything, no one's being kicked out of the commercial space because they can't pay the rent. So I think it's important as a leader, if you can do these things proactively before they call you, it makes your partners, it makes your employees, it makes your clients feel a lot better because you took care of them rather than them have to come to you and ask you first, right? But you need time to be able to do that, so.
Time. I think we've got some extra time right now. You know, in building perspective as a member of Tech Connects, what are some of the things that you guys are currently working on right now as building perspective? Because that's how I know you. So what are some of the things you guys are currently working on right now?
Yeah, so we're working with the printing house. The printing house is one of our clients. So they're looking to take their business, which is very much a brick and mortar type business. They're looking to go and put an e-commerce solution to it and grow their sales. So we're redesigning all their back-end process to make that e-commerce solution viable. That's one of our clients. LifeLives is another one of our clients. We're redesigning and optimizing all their call centers. I'm also interested. There's a couple of businesses that I'm interested in purchasing, so I'm doing the due diligence on that. Interestingly, in this COVID environment, I had three calls just yesterday alone from, you know, clients that we've served in the last 10 years. They've asked us to come redesign or redo a lot of the work we've done for them in their manufacturing facilities to take the COVID situation into account. So a lot of manufacturing facilities, they're required to now be able to work on their floors, but they have to maintain a 2-meter distance. So they're coming to us and say, can you redesign these processes and maintain that 2-meter distance? And I got to think about that. So we're getting a lot of requests to do that. And quite frankly, we're building perspective has done well over the last few years. So we're just going in there. They're asking us for proposals to do this work. We're just going in and doing it for free because I know these companies will spend money on our services, but this isn't the time to suck them dry. So we're just doing it for free. So I can look at their procedures or any one of our consultants can do that and give them some tips on how to maintain that 2-meter distance. So the way I see it, if all our clients die, we die too. So we're in it together.
I love the approach. You know, we're out of time right now, Desi, but obviously I want to thank you for your insight and thank you for, you know, being a great leader, a great person to take Tech Connects. And for the listeners, we will be doing more with Building Perspective in the near future. We will be doing lunch and learns and some more educational pieces and sessions with Desi and his team. So once again, thank you, Desi, for taking the time to speak with me today. And be safe and be well, and we will talk to you soon.
You bet. Brian, thank you so much again.
All right. Have a great day, Desi.
You too. Bye.